for our Focus on Politics this evening. It's a welcome to the former Labour Party City Minister in the Brown government, a veteran, oh, that's an awful word, isn't it, of the investment industry. Chairmanships included in the past, the Guardian Media Group, Land Securities Group, Marks and Spencer, and Deputy Chair of PowerGen. This year, he was appointed UK Chairman of Sevian Capital, described as Europe's largest activist fund manager. And it's a welcome to Lord Paul Miners, the Baron of Truro. What a lovely title.
Good afternoon, Martin. Nice to be with you.
It's lovely to see you, sir. Thanks very much for coming in. Let's start with an easy one. I think we should always kick off with an easy one. How do you think we ended up in the worst financial mess since the Great Depression? How did we get here?
Well, we're still in the mess that we found ourselves to be in around about 2007, 2008. It's just changed from being a problem of private debt to now being a matter of public debt, and in particular sovereign debt and the ability of countries like Greece and Portugal to repay their indebtedness or roll it over. How do we get there? I think for 10 or 15 years, the developed world lived on a debt-fueled, buoyant economic activity. It fed itself on cheap production coming from developed countries and accumulated large trade deficits and debts to countries like China and India. And it's all gone too far, and it's taking a long time to unwind. And I think, sadly, at the moment, Martin, globally, the political leadership does not seem to be in place to grasp the problem. We get a series of short-term initiatives. We've had one in the last week from Merkel and Sarkozy, but nobody is really saying we have got to address the fundamental imbalances between the exporting countries of Asia and the consuming countries of the West.
It's almost like the politicians are allowing this to sort of drip, drip, drip because they're frightened if they came out and said just how bad it was, that it would make it worse.
Well, politicians are very short-term. Their whole thinking is led by the electoral cycle. And at any point of time, you have at least one national leader who's got his or her eyes focused on the next election. Sarkozy, certainly Obama, coming up towards that now. I think the only time in the recent past when the world's political leaders came together to drive a common programme of action was the G20, which the UK hosted in London in
Gordon
April 2009,
yeah,
which was probably Gordon Brown's great moment. If you look at Gordon Brown's history as a prime minister, that probably will be his shining moment when he did corral the world's leaders around a common agenda. That simply isn't the case now. In fact, anything, we have a beggar your neighbour policy now where everybody is trying to reduce their fiscal or government deficits, reduce government expenditure, increase taxation, and that's pushing the world back towards recession. We're on, I suspect we are already back in to a recession now in the UK.
Back to my original question, and I think what you're saying is that everybody bears responsibility. So the Thatcher, the Blair, the Brown governments, the light touch of legislation on the financial markets, the letting people believe that you could have whatever you wanted. Was that part of the problem?
Well, I think you've captured that in all respects except one, that you've characterised it as being a purely UK phenomenon. The fact is the banking system and the collapse there came from America, and firms like Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, IndyMac, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mae, these had nothing to do with UK regulation. But we've certainly recognised now that inadequate regulation, poor supervision, and very limited action by central banks. The Bank of England has focused almost exclusively on inflation, retail inflation. They've hopelessly failed to hit the target set for them by the Chancellor of the Exchequer, but they almost completely missed the build-up of an asset bubble in the UK. And that goes for the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank as well.
And both the Americans and the British printing money. Quantitative easing is effectively printing money. Surely that is inflation in and of itself.
I remember when the governor of the Bank of England came to see Alistair Darling and myself to seek our approval to enter into quantitative easing, because although the Bank of England has freedom to set interest rates, which is the cost of money, it required the Treasury to guarantee any losses that might arise through increasing the supply of money through quantitative easing. And I think we all looked at each other somewhat blankly, because this was something which was beyond the lifetime experience of